This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
The new beginnings.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's the Fawcast. Adam and I are already fighting.
I'm actually surprised it took us this long. You've been here for about 5 minutes.
Fighting like a couple girls. No offense to the lovely ladies listening in the audience today.
It's the Fawcast brought to you by Charterhouse Realty. We're here at Charterhouse.
We're here.
It's beautiful. Beautiful office.
It's not bad.
I was playing a little pool earlier while we were waiting for you, and my game's not good.
You were playing poorly.
Yeah, it was...
Like your basketball game.
No, it was worse than that. My basketball game will be just fine come May when we're down in Clarinda for your...
We're waiting until May to play.
I thought that was the deal all along. We're going down to your graduation.
I'm coming
Clarinda,
down.
And I'm going to beat you in your high school gym where you cut down the nets.
I didn't cut down the nets in my high school gym.
But where you play, home court advantage, it doesn't matter.
It's not the same anymore. They renovated it.
So the mojo's
gone from the gym. It's not the same.
As Jamal Tinsley once said, it's just another gym.
Yeah, that's not just another gym where that he was talking about, though. He was tripping.
That was fog.
That's just because Jamal Tinsley was Jamal Tinsley.
Yeah. And Kansas, then they weren't that great. But
it's NCAA tournament week, fellas. Are you guys excited?
Very, very.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
I'm nervous.
Not for basketball, buddy.
No, actually, I am nervous for basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm more nervous for basketball than what you're talking about. No, especially after the UAB game, it still stings a little bit. And I feel the same way I feel about when we go down to Kansas City. Just win the first game. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I think you can just enjoy it for what it is, you know, just trying to maybe get a run going. But, man, if you lose that first game on Thursday morning, it almost ruins the rest of the tournament, or at least the first weekend, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm nervous.
I'm nervous for your nuts.
Why are you nervous for my nuts? Well, that's be fine.
Because they're going to get groped tomorrow.
Yeah, so people that are listening here with Charter's inappropriate comments, I am having a vasectomy tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
No more little grays running around.
Yeah, our good friends at the Iowa Clinic, they got me scheduled. I figured if I'm going to do it, I got to do it during when they say you got to put your feet up, you know, on the couch and relax for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Why not do it during NCAA tournament? Best time.
I've had several friends that have gone through this procedure, and the verdict is widespread.
Yeah, same
I've
here.
Had a few people that are like, it's nothing. And some people are like, I had a stomach ache for like 4 days afterwards. So.
Oh, I have way worse stories.
Yeah.
I will not name who I know, but someone very close to me had an artery snipped.
Ooh.
And blood pooled up in their nuts. This is probably about two months ago now. Still having issues.
That's not good.
Yeah. So that part of it is a little bit scary for me, but I'm actually more nervous about getting kicked in the stones for the Iowa State game than getting kicked in the stones
What's
tomorrow.
Funny when we talk about vasectomy is because my father-in-law is now retired, and my brother-in-law are both urologists, so that's what they do, and they've done thousands of them.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, my brother said this, and I actually think he would do that. He got one done, and he wanted to do his own because he liked the way that he did them, but he didn't because he thought he might pass out or something.
Sure.
And, you know, that'd be a problem. But I could literally go to his house over in Davenport and, like, go in the kitchen and he could just do a vasectomy right there. I mean, that's how normal it is to those guys. Just be like, drop your pants, let's do it.
Let's get her going.
Yeah, let's get her going. We'll put some movies on in the next room for you. You can iced out. So, no, I think there's a part of every man that feels for you, though. Well, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a part of your essence is leaving.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
I know.
You know, are you going to be less aggressive? Like with it's like they say with dogs, once they get... They're less aggressive.
Have I ever humped your leg, Jerry?
You're just always a little bit aggressive sometimes.
Now, to be fair to Adam, they're not actually taking his testicles. His testicles will still be in place.
They will be there.
In dogs, when they take their testicles, they replace them with something called nudicles. Have you ever heard of nudicles?
No, but I'm not surprised you
know. Their testicles and neutered combined, they're nudicles. So they're fake testicles, so the dog still feels like he has a pair, even when he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't know if they do that on all dogs. Do they actually take a dog's balls?
I have no idea.
Only if Williams was here, because his wife would know this. But anyway, speaking of having no balls, if you listened on Friday, you noticed someone was gone from the podcast, and we're about truth and honesty and transparency here.
Let's speak the truth.
So Friday morning, the plan according to us was that Williams and I were saying, yeah, we're going to meet at Chris Williams' hotel room on Friday in Kansas City to do the podcast.
Sure.
And at no point during Thursday, when we were all together or talking about this during the week, did Gray say anything other than, that sounds good, guys. You know, that sounds good. Friday morning rolls around. I'm looking at my text messages here. And I'm texting these guys, hey, what's the plan for this morning? I'm up eating breakfast, whatever. And then Chris is saying, come on by. Chris says, I'm up working. Then he said, is Adam alive? Because last year didn't go so well for you the night before.
I was hurting a little bit last year, yeah.
And I said, as always, no word from him. Then Gray sends a picture of a fist bump. Got a little
emoji for you.
Yep.
A little emoji.
And then Gray's next text is, it's up to CW. He's got the goods. So anybody in their rational mind would think, Gray's alive.
Yeah.
He's around.
Yeah.
He's ready to roll. So about 10:30 or whatever that morning, my wife and I head over to Chris's hotel. We get there, and Gray's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found at all. We're texting him. We're getting ignored texts. We figure maybe he went back to sleep or something like this. We do the podcast, only to find out afterwards that Gray's golfing, apparently. Now, he knows there's a podcast going on. Never once said to me, and Chris says he never said to Chris, hey, guys, I'm not going to make it. I'm golfing. Just totally flaked on us.
First of all, there's half-truth to this story.
First
of all, if you guys listened to the podcast last week, you guys accused me of being hungover, which I was not. I went to bed at a very reasonable hour.
Surprise, surprise.
It is actually very surprising. I will agree with you there.
It's because you were sad, wasn't it?
And I definitely did not have diarrhea, which I believe you guys mentioned 70 times during that podcast that I was sitting on a toilet with diarrhea.
I think that was Chris.
Not true. Not true in either of those. So here's what happened. Chris calls me up, says, hey, what's going on? I said, well, Bloom is asleep. And he goes, well, don't wake Bloom up. Charter and I can do the podcast by ourselves. Don't worry about it. And you guys can just do whatever. I said, okay. So then we didn't go golf until like 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's when we went golfing. So I didn't skip it. He just said, don't worry about coming over and getting Bloom up and bringing Bloom over if he's sleeping.
Well, then why does CW say he doesn't know anything about this?
And why did CW at no point tell me any of this?
Because it's more fun for him to say Gray's got diarrhea than to actually tell you the truth where he calls me up and goes, don't worry about coming over since Bloom's still sleeping and you guys can just sleep in a little bit. Don't worry about it.
So at a minimum, at least we found a reliable substitute. My wife made her debut on the podcast.
Which people want to hear what Katie has to say.
Yeah, and she knows basketball. So
I would have asked her more questions about you living with you than what Chris did.
It's probably good that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. She would have answered them honestly, so that would have been a problem.
Well, I would expect nothing less married to you. You're Mr. Honest.
I try from time to time. what was your takeaway from Kansas City? It kind of went exactly like I thought.
Yeah, I thought we were going to lose the first game. I thought if we won the first game, I thought we'd beat West Virginia. Didn't see us losing to twice. But, you know, I thought we played for the most part. I thought Iowa State played fairly well.
Yeah.
There were some shots early in the game where I thought we could have maybe stretched the lead in the first half. They were down and out, didn't stay in. And it's a momentum game. Buddy got going. We couldn't stop him. We were just trading buckets with him in the second half. We could never get under, like, that 5 point until the very end of the game. Because every time we'd score, they would rebound and score. But, I mean, like any other time, Kansas City was a blast. Weather was good. Fans were great. Probably drank a couple more beers than I deserved or should have had. But all in all, fun trip.
I'm trying to think if I'm hearing something on my headset I'm distracted by. Do you guys hear anything?
Yeah, there's like there's an AC like, or something cranking on in your place here.
Sorry about that. I thought that was just in my brain.
If Willie was here, he'd be like, it's ghost, guys. There's a ghost here.
There's the ghost. I didn't think we were going to win the game. It was weird because I wasn't disappointed in any way. The previous 2 years, we were down every game, it seemed like. But still, you thought, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I didn't have the same thought.
No.
This year. But I also think it's probably a blessing in disguise to give Monte a few more days of rest. He didn't look right at all. I hope he's efficient. I don't think he's going to be healthy for the game on Thursday. But will he be efficient? Can he get the job done?
Yeah.
I feel like things with muscles, like what he's dealing with, it's one of those things where you wake up and you see how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, like someday you might feel good, some days you might feel really bad. And
yeah.
You just kind of have to hope that Thursday he wakes up and he feels good.
The good news is he's 22,
yeah.
So it's a little bit different than me being 37. I wake up a little stiff, so and he's going to...
He might have a co-ed up there at Ames working his shoulders for him the last couple of days, you know, loosening it up for him.
Why does it got to be a... Whatever. Just.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, he's probably getting taken care of.
Maybe it's his roommate.
Or
just because that's what you would want doesn't mean that's what serious athletes would want. Serious athletes that are trying to get ready for the NCAA tournament right
they
now.
They wouldn't want Adam. A girl to give him a shoulder rub? I don't understand
They're
that.
They're trying to focus. They're trying to get focused, not...
You guys are plugged in, right? Especially the internees plugged in. So I heard what I would describe as a rumor, nothing more than that, that Monte was actually, over the past few days, actually a little depressed. Any truth to that? Based on maybe being hurt, based on maybe the fact that as of right now, he's not going pro. You know, he was supposed to have a good Big 12 tournament. Maybe he does, et cetera. That didn't happen. Anything coming out of Iowa State like that, or is that total bunk?
I haven't heard anything like that, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's bummed, but I can't imagine him like sitting in his apartment in his sweatpants eating ice cream.
Drinking beers.
Right. Like, I'm sure he's probably bummed out that he can't practice. He's bummed out that he's hurt and that he hasn't been playing very well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's probably using it as motivation to play well in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I get why you'd be bummed. I mean, you work all year to be ready for this time of year, and he's been fairly healthy his whole entire career. So to get hurt right now at this time, I understand being bummed, but he's got what now? A full week to get healthy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he might not be 100%, but I'm not actually worried about Monte at all. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I do.
So Thursday is going to be crazy, by the way. Are you guys, you're not, because you're getting your nuts snipped.
Yeah.
So you're not going anywhere. Are you going down to the games?
I'm not going to go to the games, but I think I'm going to go downtown for a while.
Are you?
Downtown's going to be nuts. I think they did move the parade, right? The St. Patrick's Day parade, I think, got moved to Friday. But I'm excited for just the atmosphere.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going down to the game. I'm going to actually watch, probably from Buzzard Billy's, I'm going to watch Iowa State play. Obviously, I'd rather watch Iowa State play than UConn play, whoever UConn is playing.
Colorado.
And then go across the street and go to the arena, hopefully for 3 games. But super excited for Saturday. At the potential matchups, UConn, Kansas, Indiana, Kentucky. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Even Colorado, Kansas would be pretty solid, too.
It would be. Tad Boyle.
Old Big 12 matchup.
Yep, and I agree.
I was talking to Chris Connolly, who runs things down there. I texted him congratulations. We literally could not have got a better draw. You could say that if Iowa had made it, then it's a better draw. But it was going to be sold out regardless. For people actually giving a crap and having their attention focused on Des Moines, it went about as well as it possibly could have.
Yeah. Well, isn't this a better draw for hotels and people as far as bringing more people in? Because you get a lot of Iowa fans, but they can go back home and stay at their place now. Now you're getting a lot of people travel from out of town, more money to be spent in Des Moines. I think it's the best possible
I think
draw.
It will surprise people. There was something on the message board the other day, and it was just one fan, so you can't say everybody feels this way, but it was a Kentucky fan. Basically saying that Des Moines sucks. It's the worst location ever. Mm-hmm. But I would guarantee that most people that would say that have never been. And I think they'll be pleasantly surprised about what downtown Des Moines looks like, the river, the whole thing. Des Moines has gotten way better in terms of restaurants and available hotels and all of that stuff. So I feel like I'm a member of the Visitors Convention Bureau right now type of thing, plugging Des Moines. But I think it's a good opportunity. And the fact that we'll have sold-out games and people showing up, I think the NCAA cares about that stuff.
Yeah.
And you hear Williams talk about Iowa State last year when they were in Louisville. He said it was a horrible atmosphere and not full and all of that stuff. So I'm excited for the teams that there won't be any of that.
Yeah.
I think the real question is who do fans root for? Mm-hmm. in these games that are coming up, who are fans actually going to root for?
Well, and I think about a place like Omaha, who's gotten to be pretty well known for their for supporting college athletics at this point. And you think back like 10 years ago, before they'd ever even gotten the NCAA tournament, and it was kind of there in that same situation with whereas Des Moines is right now, they want to prove themselves. And, you know, you had people go in and you had people support. And I think that first year that they got it was the year Norfolk State beat Missouri in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was crazy. It was absolutely packed. And then they've gotten it several years since then, too. Yeah. And you create yourself a reputation to where you open yourself up to get even better events than just an NCAA tournament first round. Maybe you could get the Sweet 16 Elite Eight of the women's tournament or, you know, something, you know, get the National Wrestling Tournament again. And that's something that I think can be really good for the city.
Did the wrestling tournament, did that start this, you think? Did it snowball from there? Did that?
I think it helped. No, it's everything, though. It's little things like the NCAA track and field,
yeah,
and outdoor championships. People show up for stuff here.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you can say we got nothing better to do. I don't care. That's irrelevant to me. But the point is, we care, and it doesn't have to be our team. Mm-hmm. I think in general, Iowans are supportive people. You know, we like to cheer for people and root them on. Nothing says that more than track. I mean, track is one of those things that people could easily ignore. I don't care about that. Yet we have Drake Relays that sold out every single year. You know, NCAA track championships came and, like, did really, really well. So we are a supportive community. I think people notice that. I mean, if you're an athlete and you're going somewhere to play, I mean, there's better locations to go to. You can say, oh, you know, we're going out to L.A. to play games or whatever. But as an athlete playing, would you rather play to a packed house or a half-empty one? I think they want to play in front of people that are caring and are there to watch the games.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, when we're not playing, we can go do something that's fun in between. So, it worked out perfectly. So congrats to Chris Connolly, the Iowa Event Center. I think he's pumped. Not only that, but you got Garth Brooks selling out 6 shows down there.
Are you going to go?
No, I'm not a country fan. I'm intrigued. I'd never heard of this before. Maybe Garth does this all the time. I have no idea. But Garth has not only one night, but 2 nights where he's doing 2 shows.
Yeah, I'm going the first night, the second show.
I've never even heard of that happening. Because think about how much energy you would put out doing a show, right? So you get done. It takes two and a half hours probably for a concert.
Probably.
And then based on the schedule, he's going to have a half hour to kind of wind down and then ramp right back up for a brand new crowd coming in that wants to see just as good of a show.
Well, but how long is he? Okay, so the second show starts at 10:30.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the first person to start at 10:30, right? He's got his wife, Trish Yearwood, I think, is starting off. Am I right on that?
Is she the opening act? I don't know if they did it together or what.
I don't know. I guess I thought I heard that, but I could be wrong.
She's with him, yes.
She's with him. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I just don't know if she's the opener or whatever. But the guy's a marketing genius, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too. The way that they do those shows is they don't say, hey, guys, we're going to have 6 shows. Mm-hmm. And they're probably like, oh, what do I pick or whatever. They're like, we're going to have 1 show. And then they sell that out in like 18 seconds. And then they're like, show 2, show 3, show 4. And they just keep going as long as there's tickets to sell.
Yeah.
But there's not many people that could sell 60,000 seats, 70,000 seats, I think is what they said. That's pretty impressive.
Is there anybody else you guys think that could come to Des Moines and do that?
That many shows, I mean, there'd be a limited run. You think about kind of the best of the best. I think U2 could sell a crap load of tickets. They can fill stadiums pretty easy. Maybe like a Bruce Springsteen, maybe somebody like that. You have to have a huge reputation in the industry, because you think about even groups that I think of as being really well-selling groups as far as albums go. Coldplay is a good example. Coldplay, I think, sold out, but it wasn't like overwhelming demand when they came to Des Moines. So 6 shows, I mean, that's a limited group. I even think of like Madonna, maybe someone that's super, super famous.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's a rare club.
It is rare.
To be able to do that. So I had no idea that many people liked Garth Brooks. Especially since the dude
best.
Didn't the dude retire that. Like 10 years ago?
Yeah. See, I'm not a big concert guy. In fact, I find concerts to be boring. A majority of them, I think, is just no different than listening to it on the radio. There are some that are more fun than others, but they do nothing for me. Garth Brooks is the one concert I've always wanted to see. I've heard good things about it, and I love Garth.
Are you going, then?
So we're leaving to go to Napa Valley. My wife and I are. On April 30th, so we weren't going to be able to go. Well, he opened up now on the 29th. He's
oh, so you are going.
So I'm going, yeah.
So you scored tickets? Or do you know?
I did.
Do you know a friend that got you seats?
I know someone, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, enough Garth Brooks. We've got some basketball coming up. Should we talk about this upcoming tournament, this free-for-all?
Should we talk Iowa State first or last?
As a fan, are you guys excited about the overall tournament? The fact you went into last year saying, would Kentucky win it? That was the question.
Yeah.
This year, it's who the heck is going to win this thing?
Yeah.
Is that good or bad to not have a leading favorite?
I think that's great. I love it.
I think it's great for, like, the hardcore basketball fan, but as a casual, like, someone that's a casual college basketball fan that doesn't watch it all year long, I don't think it would be as good.
Yeah, without the Kentucky?
Yeah, because
without the villain?
Someone like Kentucky is going to draw just, like, maybe a hardcore sports fan that doesn't follow college basketball. That's going to be like, oh, can they win the national championship? Can they go undefeated? That might prompt you to turn on the TV and watch the NCAA tournament. Whereas if you're a hardcore basketball fan, you're going to watch either way.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's not that one guy or that one team that everybody is talking about that's, like, transcending just college basketball and getting into actual, like, the sporting world, then, you know, it might not get just an average person to turn it on.
There's not the individual talent that we've seen years past. I mean, if you think about it, all the best players in college basketball that are in the tournament are seniors this year, which is unheard of in today's game.
Which is crazy. I saw a stat, I don't know if this is true, going all the way back to when this format started, but I think this is the most combined losses for number ones ever.
Yes, correct.
So tons and tons of parity, which is good, because if you watch a basketball game, people don't want to watch blowouts unless it's their team that they're rooting for. So this thing, I have no clue. Do you guys have a projected champion as we sit here today? Do you have a favorite in your own mind?
Michigan State.
Well, it's hard to bet against Tom Izzo this time of year. I would say the fact that they go to another Final Four, it's not a lock, but pretty darn good chance of that. He just gets it done.
He knows that the refs swallow whistles in the NCAA tournament, so just mug other teams.
Is that the strategy?
I hate watching Izzo on March, but you're right. I mean, I think they're the team to beat. I haven't looked at the odds on favor, but I would guess Michigan State's the favorite.
And there are two. It's Kansas. Kansas is the favorite.
They are the favorite?
Yeah.
I like North Carolina, but North Carolina, their guard play is hit or miss. I mean, if they're making shots, I think they're unbeatable, actually. I think they're the best team if they can make some three-point shots because they have so much size. Yeah. They can get tons of offensive rebounds.
Right, and you saw that against Virginia on Saturday night. Once their guards started to get rolling a little bit in the second half, they opened up that distance, and it was done.
Marcus Paige has not had as good of a year as he's had in the past. If he can hit, I mean, he doesn't need to go crazy. Three threes a game for them just so they can't pack in on that defense. That's the most talented team, I think, overall from, you know, 1 through 8. But who knows? They could lose to Providence.
Where did I follow college basketball, but I feel like I've heard nothing about Oregon this year. And they're number one. Yeah, first time ever. Where in the heck did they come from?
They just played a lot of their games. They play a lot on Friday nights, at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So I think that's what it is. They're just playing at such weird times for everybody around
no
here
one's
that
watching.
Nobody gets to watch. And I think it's kind of that same situation with Oregon State where you see a guy like Gary Payton II, who is really, really, really good, but not that many people are going to know who he is just because you don't watch Oregon State on the East Coast. You don't watch Oregon in Iowa, really.
Pac-12 in general. I feel like I've barely seen any games for the Pac-12 this year. But obviously they got some good teams.
And it's also stupid that they put all their games on the Pac-12 network and nobody outside of the West Coast gets the Pac-12 network.
What did you guys think of the one that jumped out from Selection Sunday to me was A&M being higher seeded than Kentucky after Kentucky beat them in the SEC tournament? Did that make any sense to you at all? You guys are more like Kim Pom and RPIs and stuff like that. I mean, did that make legitimate sense?
No, I mean, my biggest takeaway from the whole thing is that the committee already had their brackets made up before those games were even played on Sunday because Michigan State getting a 2 to me. I mean, I know they didn't win the Big Ten Conference, but anybody that's watched them since Valentine got back, that's a 1 seed. And so Kentucky's a 3 seed. That's the only takeaway I could is Sunday games were pretty much irrelevant.
The committee struggled this year. They really did.
Yeah.
I think they seemed like they had all their work done Saturday night, and they didn't want to come in on Sunday, so they just mailed it in.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like they did anything on Sunday.
Imagine the pressure on them, though, because, too, not only are people complaining about seeds, but people are also complaining about second-round matchups.
Right.
So people like Des Moines, we got it great. Hopefully it is UConn, Kansas, Indiana, Kentucky, hopefully, just for entertainment perspective. But a lot of people are saying that's horrible that it's set up that way. You shouldn't have Indiana and Kentucky meeting in round two. They look at that as not fair or maybe too early or whatever the case may be. Is it fair to put that on them to think that far ahead? I mean, it's not enough just to seed the teams. They got to think about matchups down the road.
Well, and they say that they don't look at that. They try to say that. But then you look and you see that Kentucky and Indiana are playing each other in the second round. And every year, everybody wants Kentucky and Indiana to play each other.
Yep.
And they won't play each other. Neither one of them wants to play each other. Mm-hmm. So it's like the committee says, okay, we're going to make you play each other.
Yeah.
And then you see Michigan State and Virginia, they've been matched up in the tournament 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
That does not make any sense to me.
No, Iowa State has been with the same set as Michigan State, what, three of the last 4 years too?
Am yeah, right something like that.
I mean, I find it really funny. Huggins said afterwards, well, you know that us and Kentucky be in the same bracket because they don't want both of us to go to the Final Four. Sure enough, they're in the same bracket as Kentucky. It's unbelievable.
So do you think, honestly, that a lot of personal bias goes into the selection committee? Because all these people on the committee know coaches. They know these teams for the most part. I'd like to think, and maybe it's naive, I'd like to think that they don't go that far in depth.
Well, who isn't the guy that was on the committee, the head guy, isn't he the AD at Oklahoma?
Yeah, I think we need to make this into more basketball people.
Yeah, I agree.
Committee than a group of athletic directors.
Because how does Tulsa get in?
Right. That's,
well, they're in Oklahoma. Is there some sort of tie there? I mean, that's what I keep looking. Yeah. I'm like a conspiracy theory. How do they get in? It doesn't make any sense.
And the guy couldn't even justify it.
No.
They asked about it, and he couldn't even give an explanation for why they put them in the tournament over someone like St. Bonaventure or Monmouth,
yeah.
who were two teams that everybody thought was in.
Yep.
It seems like there's just not – there has to be standards. When they're making these decisions behind closed doors, then people are going to start to speculate. They're going to start to come up with conspiracy theories like – you know, what is happening? If they simply said, we make selections based on RPI, or we make selections based on top 50 wins, or whatever the case may be, then everyone's going to understand, and they're going to know the rules going in. It's tough to win the game if you don't know what the rules are when you're playing the game.
Yeah.
So that way, people say, well, would that change things? Absolutely would. If Monmouth wants to make it next year, maybe they got to schedule one more tough game and try to win that. So it does alter what a team can do going into the season.
Monmouth won 17 games on the road this year.
Yeah.
So they played one true home non-conference game. One.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they only lost one or two non-conference games. So that's astounding.
And now their wins on the non-conference did end up being as good as we thought early on because UCLA really fizzled down
in Georgetown. Yeah.
In Georgetown. But they still at least scheduled them and played them. I mean,
they beat Notre Dame, too.
Yeah, beat Notre Dame. And, you know, I understand, like, sometimes it'd be nice just to have black and white as far as, hey, this gets you in. But I think there's got to be some wiggle room, too, because you look at a team like Wichita State, resume-wise, that team should not be in the tournament. But you watch them play, that's a tournament team, in my opinion, when you just watch that team play. So I think there's a little bit
at
of
at least they have there. To earn their way in
yeah.
with the play-in. Is that tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah. I think it's, yes, tonight.
Tonight.
Wichita State, Vanderbilt.
There's Wichita State's slight favorite, I think, at that game.
Yeah.
So
what games are you guys excited about? And first of all, I guess the best question is three Iowa teams. How do you guys think that they actually fare this first game?
I think Iowa gets a win, but although Temple's not great, it's still 2 hours from home. I mean, they'll have some fans there. I mean, that's a tough draw for Iowa in that regard. So I think that'll be a little bit tougher. And who knows with Iowa too? Because let's be honest, they played horrible lately. I mean, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the Illinois game.
I watched a little bit of it.
They were awful.
Dude, it's so bad. It's inexcusable. I was telling this on the last podcast that you, of course, missed.
Get over it.
The last three tournament appearances in the Big Ten, they've lost to, I think, a 12, a 13, and a 14 seed in the first round.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, so
it's also awesome.
These players, the senior heavy team, you would think would come out with some fire
right.
and say, I don't want my career to end with yet another loss to Temple, who we should beat. I think they win as well. Beyond that, and from what I've heard, everybody seems to think they have a very, very favorable draw.
People are down on Villanova, and I get it because they've always struggled in the NCAA tournament, but that's a good basketball team this year. I don't think Iowa has any chance with Villanova.
Villanova, where they fall short is they have a history of being doing nothing really in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, they come in with a one or a two or a three, and then they kind of fizzle out.
Nobody cares. Kansas before Kansas won the championship. They had that kind of same, you know, they'd always choke.
I mean, Villanova's got as good a starting five as anybody in the country.
Really good.
But
really good.
Their bench is not near at the same level.
Sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, I would say even it might be worse than Iowa State's.
Yeah, but they get to play in the Big East rather than the Big 12.
Right. I'm not buying into anybody in the Big East. I think Butler's going to beat Texas Tech in the first round, but I'm not sure I'm going to pick another Big East team besides Villanova, Xavier, and Butler.
Well, Xavier got a tough draw with Wisconsin the second round, too.
Yeah, I probably will pick them to win their first game. I think Wisconsin might beat them.
Yeah.
Wisconsin just always wins in the tournament, too.
Yeah.
Even though Bo Ryan's gone, it's just their style of play. It's always always works out.
They dictate tempo. Mm-hmm. They play good enough defense. They don't give you second chance opportunities. That's what's scary about when you play a team, even like Purdue for Iowa State. Iowa State's gonna be really efficient because Purdue's not gonna give them second chance opportunities, and they're not gonna turn the ball over. And I just jumped ahead a game.
I was gonna say, what's your stance on that? Because there's some people that go one way that it's a horrible matchup, and then there are the people that go the way that it's a great matchup.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both. I mean, when we have the ball, this sounds bad, when Jameel's out of the game and you can put Burton out there too, mm-hmm. I don't know how they guard us.
Right.
I really don't.
Unless they want to go small, which at that point they take away their whole advantage.
Exactly. Then, bring on the small guys, actually, because then you post up George down low, mm-hmm. and you get George buckets there. So I like us offensively, but you got to get stops, and everyone keeps saying, well, we're going to run to death. Well, you can only run if you get stops. Mm-hmm. If they score on you and they can get their defense back, that's going to be tough for Iowa State. So, I mean, I like it. As far as a draw, it's a good draw, but it scares me with George getting in foul trouble, trying to guard those bigs, because we've seen it. When he gets two fouls and he's out, our offense is mm-hmm. it's not the same.
I look at it. We're very likely is not the right word, but I would say there's more than a 50% chance that we end up playing in Chicago, which is great. I want to drive to Chicago and watch Iowa State play. Being in the Sweet 16 is awesome. Purdue is tall. That's going to be a problem, potentially, for us. We looked past UAB last year. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
I don't think this team's going to be looking past Iona.
I like the fact that George and Monte know that English kid, too. I mean, it's a little bit of, they know how good this kid is. Mm-hmm. So they can talk to Matt or Nate or whoever's guarding him, too, and say, hey, this guy, he's for real. Don't be sleeping on him just because he's on Iona.
He's a pro. He's definitely going to be playing in the NBA.
Do you think he's an athlete enough for a pro?
Dude, I don't know. He shoots well enough just to be a pro.
I watched that Monmouth game too, and I like him. I know I'm different. Everyone says put Matt on him. I think early on I like Nader on him just for length. Mm-hmm. Give him a little bit of play, but get that 7-foot wingspan up on him in the shots. And here's the thing: if he's having his way with Nader, then you put Matt on him.
Iona had some success, or not Iona, Monmouth had success putting Justin Robinson on him, and he's like 5'10".
So you put Monte on him, maybe?
Well, I'd say Matt.
Yeah.
Because what Robinson was able to do was he was able to stay right in his chest the whole time.
Get in that shooting pocket.
Right. And if you just get someone that's going to be able to run with them and stay right with them chest to chest all the time, then I feel like that's a better situation.
So English is
He still scored 20 points, but
he's around the same size as Buddy Hield, right?
Yeah.
Very, very favorable size. Is he as athletic as Buddy? Can he take it to the lane as well?
No, but I think he can pass better out of it.
Yeah.
Well, like, once he gets there, I don't feel like he finishes as well at the rim, but he's better at dishing it off than Buddy is.
Because that was what Matt really struggled with in that Oklahoma game. He could not keep Buddy out of the lane once Buddy got – and now Buddy Hield's obviously one of the top players in the country, but this kid's good. And you're right, he does pass better. He actually reminds me a little bit of Denzel Valentine a little bit too, how he can go inside out and pass the ball. So,
yeah.
Have you guys seen more of a clear example – in back-to-back games of how we lack on defense than watching us trying to guard Buddy in the Big 12 championship and then watching West Virginia do a number on him. And I realized it wasn't the whole game. It was mostly the first half. But it was night and day difference.
Oh.
And you can put some of that on Buddy or whatever, but he was doing whatever he wanted to against us. And then West Virginia was essentially shutting him down.
It's a little bit different for West Virginia, though, with their guards, because literally the Tariq Phillip, Javon Carter and Jayshon Page are—I swear to God—they're the same person, in three different bodies. They are literally the exact same. Mm-hmm. So if you put one of them on there for a little bit, okay, he gets tired. Put a different one. He's just tired. All right, throw the other one on there. Okay, he's tired. Now put the same one that started back on him, and then you can just keep rotating them. And as Buddy gets tired, those guys don't get tired.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. It just speaks to our little bit of a defensive shortage that we have. But we did not, by the way, before those first round games, UNI Texas. Do you and I have a chance to win that game?
I think they do. Absolutely.
You think they actually do win?
Oh.
Beat Shaka in the first round?
It would not surprise me. You know, a lot of these games, it always comes back to which team dictates tempo. If the teams get out and run, Texas is going to just, I think they'll run away with it. But if Northern Iowa can get some buckets early, get back on defense, I think Texas would struggle to score against Northern Iowa.
Win ugly a little bit.
And I'll pose this scenario. I mean, if Cam Ridley is supposedly going to play.
Yeah.
So if they play him, the style of ball that you and I likes to play is more what Texas was playing when Cam Ridley was playing back in December.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about that until after I recorded the seniors this morning. But when the way that they played after he got hurt is completely opposite of how you and I plays. So I just think that's going to be an interesting thing to see is if how they play when Ridley's on the floor compared to when he's not, because it's just it's hard to switch those styles of play sometimes.
It is.
Especially when you haven't played with him for so long.
How good of a matchup is Taylor versus Washburn?
That's really good.
That's a, I mean, those are two big-time athletes right there. Quickness.
That's almost as good as Morris versus Washburn, I'd say.
Well, if you remember that game, too, they took Morris off Washburn for a while in the second half, and they were having Nader guard him just to try to get something, you know, different. You know, because Washburn was hitting those little pull-up jumpers and having his way with us. But he's a good player. He's a really good player. I don't know. Do you guys cheer for Northern Iowa in that game?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, see, I hate Northern Iowa, but I will cheer. And I love
cheer. Why do you hate Northern Iowa? There's no
reason. I've got nothing against them.
There's no reason to hate them.
Okay, you're right. I shouldn't take it. I do not hate them. I don't dislike them like I dislike Iowa, but I find them to be a little bit more difficult to cheer for. I don't know why. I
find them both difficult to cheer for.
Yeah.
I just don't cheer for either one of them, but I'm not like – I don't hate them. I'm neutral on them.
They're the underdogs, though. I mean, yeah. Their roster is full of guys that would have loved to have played at Iowa or Iowa State, for the most part.
Sure.
You know, and weren't good enough or whatever.
Well, Washburn Spurred.
That's the thing that I like about you and I, though, is that you get those guys like Washburn and Clint Carlson and Jeremy Morgan and Wyatt Lohouse. It's a who's who of guys that have played at the state tournament over the last several seasons here in Iowa. So that's what's really cool about it is it is the guys from Iowa.
You're rooting for Iowa's team, basically, because it really is in a lot of ways.
Are you guys like me, though? Do you typically cheer for Big 12 teams? I mean,
only because typically it makes Iowa State look better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always hear these guys on the radio. I was listening to Rosello, and he always thinks it's the dumbest thing in the world that you cheer for conference. But I always have been that way. When Kansas is in conference play, I hope they lose every game. Outside of conference, I'll cheer for them all day long.
Does Iowa State make any more money if Big 12 basketball teams are successful in the tournament? Because in bowl games, you do. If you're a football team in the Big 12 goes to a big bowl, you get a split of the revenue. Yeah. I don't know if that happens in basketball.
I'm pretty sure the conferences make – I saw the number the other day. It's like $152,000 for every game that your team plays in the tournament. It's something like that. I mean, it's a pretty crazy number, but the Big 12 is going to make a lot of money for every team, every game is the teams win.
So the Big 12, will they fare better than they fared last year?
I would say so. How many Big 12 teams have to make it to the Sweet 16 for you to say that it was – for you guys to say that it was legit?
Three is okay. Four, I think, is legit.
Mm-hmm. Kansas for sure. West Virginia for sure.
Oklahoma
for sure. Those are my three, and then I'll throw Iowa State in there.
Iowa State or Baylor, you know. Baylor.
Ooh, you're going to give Baylor a chance?
Yeah, a chance, yeah. I give them a chance.
I don't know if they can get past Duke.
Do any of those teams play each other prior to the Sweet 16?
They got some boys they can throw at Ingram, though.
Yeah.
They got some length to throw on Ingram.
Well, no, yeah, and the other thing that I was thinking about is Duke just doesn't shoot the ball that well. So you get that zone out there a little bit and maybe pack it in on him. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that could get interesting. But Coach K versus Scott Drew is going to be fun.
I know. Duke's got no depth, too. They're like Iowa State right now.
Right.
They don't have many players.
Let's go on record with our final four picks before this whole thing gets started.
Oh, geez.
This week, and I'll have to peek on your bracket there to make my picks. But anybody have any locks in the final four?
Michigan State and Kansas for me.
How can you say that when Michigan State's in the same – as Iowa State. How can you call them a lock?
Dude, I would not be one bit surprised if Iowa State's in the Elite Eight, but I do not know how they're going to stop Denzel Valentine. The dude's on a mission. I'm sorry.
He looks like a little Royce White, doesn't he? Like a skinny Royce White.
Mm-hmm.
A skinny Royce White.
He does. He looks just like him.
I think he's going to be the next Draymond in the NBA.
You think so? A little smaller than him?
Yeah, a little bit smaller.
Doesn't rebound quite as well.
But he's got that same kind of the fire in him.
A little bit better shooter early on in this career.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it. I mean, obviously, he's going to have a toughness to him that you have to have when you play for Izzo.
Right.
Especially Izzo for 4 years. Because you see a lot of these guys that go play for him for 1 or 2 years and go to the NBA, they're missing that.
Well, just imagine taking that beratement for four years, getting constantly yelled at.
I'm going with
I hope Michigan State loses early.
I'm going with the semifinal Big 12 matchup. I'm going to go Oklahoma and Kansas. And I'm going to go Michigan State and Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got a lot of talent, you know. They haven't put it all together, but that's my final four.
I don't have one off the top of my head. All I know is that I do not trust Oklahoma at all.
Yeah, I've got Oregon and West Virginia as my other two.
Wow. West Virginia.
West Virginia. Okay, so let's have a conversation about West Virginia here. They are very much predicted on how referees call their game.
Yeah, that's the thing I was saying earlier.
You're saying that refs swallow their whistle, so they should do well in the tournament.
If you get a certain crew that, hey, you hand check, I'm calling a foul,
Eads.
They're done. Mm-hmm. Because, and here's the thing, too. If they don't get buckets off of turnovers, their half-court offense is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten better, but it's still not very good. It's not the best.
Sorry, this is an aside, but if Tom Eads does the Final Four again, what does that say about college basketball?
It says that me and you should quit doing what we're doing and go try to become refs because you make a lot of money to suck at your job. That's what it says.
He is a hated individual.
But the thing about West Virginia, I think, is that I've been saying all year long, eventually the refs were going to catch up to him.
Yeah.
And they never have.
No, but here's my philosophy on this.
Yeah.
We typically see the same refs over and over in Big 12 play, right?
Uh-huh.
I feel like they're almost numb to how West Virginia plays.
But then how's that any different than with Michigan State? You were talking about how you hate how Michigan State plays in March.
Michigan State does. They're not to the level of West Virginia as far as that goes, in my opinion.
Their degree of thuggery
is
not quite as severe.
They're a lot. They know how to do it like on back screens and underneath a basket, holding and grabbing back there when you're cut. And they know how to do. West Virginia will just come out and just almost tackle you at half court and get away with it at times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that. So, but, you know, you get the same officials all the time. They have foul fatigue. They get tired of calling 28 fouls a game on West Virginia.
Right.
And so they just slowly just let them play more and more physical. I mean, I watched West Virginia play certain games this year where if they didn't get steals and turnovers, they couldn't score points.
Yeah. Right.
There is nothing more annoying, especially when it's your most valuable player, in our case, George, that gets called for ticky-tack stuff that has no bearing on the game.
Whatever it is.
That one and the other one that was bad in the Big 12 was the and one when the guy had released the ball. The ball had gone in, then George kind of lands, and then they called the foul on George. And there was nothing significant to that play. I mean, it was well before the shot had been released.
Yeah.
So fouls like that.
A lot of those dumb ones.
They don't need to be called. Someone that could say that was a purist could say, oh, it was a foul because of whatever. But there's stuff in every game that doesn't get called.
Yeah.
So especially in his case, when he's sitting out 10 minutes, 6 minutes at the end of a half because Prohm is scared to death of him getting his third foul.
I would
rather have Prohm just say, play through it, man.
Yes.
Don't foul anybody. I'd rather have you out there on the offensive end.
You're a senior.
And being kind of crappy at defense. But he does us no good sitting on the bench. So I'm a believer in let him play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll see
him. We lose offense big time, obviously.
I think you'll see him do that more in the tournament because now it's sink or swim time, and you – are you going to go down fighting with your best player on the floor, or are you just going to take him off the floor and let the game slip away?
And you don't want to lose the game because your best player was sitting for 10 minutes.
No.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Like down in Kansas.
Yeah, at Kansas.
And there's times in the game, there's 2 minutes to go, we're coming out of a timeout, we have the ball,
put him on offense, yeah.
We get the ball to start, put him in.
Yeah.
And you still have a timeout to burn. You can call timeout right after that if you want
to. And I understand, the mentality, you're fearful he's going to get that foul. And yes, your defense would slack off, but is it not possible to say, George, we need points on the offensive end, take it easy on the defensive end? Just stand there, arms up, stand
here,
there.
Here he does 90% of the time.
So I don't know, it's frustrating, but hopefully, yes, it is tournament time. You have nothing to lose. We are a much better team with George on the floor, especially on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. George at the end of the Oklahoma game was insane. I mean, talk about a one-man team. I mean, he took over big time.
I need to go back and watch that again. That reverse layup he made from where I was sitting, I still don't know how he made
how
it.
How he reached?
I was behind that hoop in that kind of that corner. And when he shot, I go, what are you? Great shot.
Yeah.
It was one of those deals.
I won't be a bit surprised if Iowa State goes on a Kemba Walker UConn type run where George just goes insane.
I really wouldn't be. I'd love it. I hope he comes fired up. I mean, this is it for him.
Do you know what I loved? What Prohm did in that last game too? He gave him the ball, let him bring the ball up court.
Because
at the end of games, we're seeing so much of a struggle for us to get him the ball in the post. Teams are doubling down on him. Just give him the ball half court, let him bring it up, and just go to work.
Well, especially if Monte's hurt, that'll just save him a little bit more of that beating. You dribble the ball down the floor every single time. He's got that guy on his left shoulder. He's always got to bang it down and bang it down. You let George do it. That's just a little bit more time that Monte can run down the floor and not have to worry about getting beat up.
Obviously, Monte's health is an issue, and George playing well, that has to happen. What is for Iowa State to make the Sweet 16, what is the key? What is the one thing that we have to do or else we will not make the Sweet 16?
when we can't get beat by 17 on the boards like we did against UAB last year, 15 or 17, it was a lot. So we got to have that. We don't need to be great on defense. No. Just mediocre. Just average.
Get some stops.
And when you get the stops, you got to get the rebounds. That's what's killed Iowa State in the past. When you've gotten stops and then you've given teams
they get
second,
the rebound,
third,
they kick it out for a three, they hit the three, et cetera.
So, I mean, you're going to give up rebounds. You're going to give up some second chance, but you can't lose by 15 on the boards and you can't give up 20-some second chance points.
Well, and against a team especially like this one where they're so predicated on the drive and so predicated on just spacing out the floor, you give up an offensive rebound. And you're done. I mean, you're scrambling because these guys are so quick that they're gonna be right in the lane in a second. They're gonna throw it right out to a guy that shoots 35% from three, and he'll knock it down.
And when the pass is coming to you from inside out for a 3-point shooter, the percentage has got to go up by a ton. It's just an easier shot than catching it from the side, turning and looking. You're already looking at the hoop. So, you know, I don't know. Somebody asked me this question earlier today, and I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. If Iowa State were to lose this game to Iona, Does it hurt George Niang's legacy at Iowa State?
I think so.
Does it?
I mean, I think to an extent.
No.
He still goes down as one of the best players in Iowa State history, but I don't think it's possible to look at losing back-to-back seasons as a 4 seed and a, what were we, 3? 2? What were we last
three.
Year? 3 seed. First-round exits. It's tough to overlook a first-round exit. If you're one of the greatest players that's ever played at the school, you got to win some tournament games.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't his fault, obviously, when he got hurt when we were, you know, 2 years ago. But, yeah, I think the minimum is a first-round win. That's the minimum. And then to get to the Sweet 16, that is significant. That's really where Iowa State needs to go. That just helps everything. People notice your school more, helps with recruiting, helps with morale for the fan base, all of that stuff. And we're only 2 wins away from that happening. That's what's cool about the tournament. 2 wins, you're in the Sweet 16.
And then from there, anything happens. From there, you just...
And then, too, the reality is no matter who we play, we're going to have a hell of a lot of fan support if it's in Chicago. Easy drive to make.
Now, if you do play Michigan State, like you said, in the Elite Eight, they'll have a lot of fans there, too.
Definitely.
Obviously, big
for
country.
Sure.
Yeah.
And tickets, I looked because I was curious. As of right now, tickets are pretty cheap starting out for that game. They're like 100-something bucks for the Sweet 16 in Chicago.
Why don't you buy some?
I might do that.
Don't be scared.
I'm not scared.
Get some.
Come get some.
I asked Williams if he booked his flight to Chicago yet, and he hadn't. I was a little disappointed in him. I thought he would be calling a shot.
Is he really going to fly to Chicago?
He said he might drive.
I was going to say.
If I was him, I would have driven to Denver. But
yeah, then he could have taken me.
I know. I even told him I'd drive you guys out there so you guys could work the whole time. He didn't. I don't think you want to be stuck in a car with us for 9 hours.
That's probably what it is. He knew we'd be arguing the whole time.
That's a crappy drive, dude. Denver's
I've done it
drive.
So many times.
Chicago's an easy drive.
It's like 3 hours difference.
You could take the mega bus to Chicago if you want.
No, thank you.
Just hopefully it didn't catch on fire.
Oh, gosh.
That happened not too long ago.
No, thank you.
I'm excited, though. This is easily one of my favorite weeks of the year. No, not only because of basketball, and obviously it's not 80 degrees out, but you feel like the weather's turned a little bit. Spring is here. It's like the opening weekend of the tournament is hands down one of the best sporting events around. It's just the constant basketball that's happening.
I don't know if there's anything else that has people just like glued to the TV, glued to their computers, continuously refreshing for 2 days straight. I don't know that there's anything else like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
And we got 3 TVs here, so we're going to have the TVs turned to 3 different channels watching some games. Not on Thursday. I won't be here, but, you know.
Do you want to leave me a key and maybe some ice, and I can come in here, kick my feet up, and watch the games? Or
you can come watch with me, Adam. I'll have my dual TV set up.
Are you?
Yeah.
Up in Ace?
I don't want you see that white sofa over there?
Yeah.
I don't need your ball scar leaking on my white sofa.
Well, I have a ball scar?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you think they get in there, man?
I mean, how big of a ball scar is it, though? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, hopefully if your urologist is good, hopefully it's really small.
Well, then there won't be much blood.
Yeah, but you know what they say, chicks dig scars.
They do. Especially ball scars.
We'll have to ask Julie if she digs it. Oh, thank God she doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, no, she doesn't. No.
Wow. Only when he says something really, really nice about her.
Let's get back on the basketball for a quick second here. Any double-digit seeds making it to the Final Four? Or not Final Four, I'm sorry, Sweet 16.
Probably. The odds are, yes.
I like it. The winner of the Vanderbilt-Wichita State game, I think they have a chance.
Did you hear the 5-12 upset?
Gonzaga, I like Gonzaga. They don't have very good guards, but, man, they got some bigs.
Yeah, Wilcher and Sabonis are as good as you're going to get down low.
A 12 seed beats a 5 seed like 40% of the time. I mean, yes, it's an upset, but at 40%, it's not that much of an upset. So you know you're going to get at least a 12 or an 11 because the 11-6 matchup is also similar to like 41% or whatever. So you're going to have 12s and 11s advancing, and then again, they're one win away. So if the past has told us anything, you think about George Mason's and VCU's and a lot of these schools, we're going to have somebody that's this year's Cinderella.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love that. I think some people think it's stupid or whatever, but I love it.
Depends on who the team is. If you look at 11-6s, you could make – I mean, none of those would surprise me at all. 12-5s, there's some that would surprise me. Although, no one's given Little Rock a play against Purdue.
Dude, Little Rock is a tough team to play because they're so different from everybody else. We looked it up to 345th out of 351 teams in Division I in pace.
Wow.
And they were holding teams below 55 points a game for a large portion of the season.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
do they have height, though?
No.
No.
They have no height.
But that's why they slow it down so much.
That'll hurt them. Yeah. Purdue, as an Iowa State fan, I'd much rather face Little Rock than Purdue. So I'll be rooting for that upset, no question about it. But, again, got to get to round one. It's so easy to look past round one. Mm-hmm. We did it last year. I feel like we're doing it again this year. Because Iowa State's the better team. Let's face it. Iowa State is better than Iona. So,
and quite frankly, Iowa State's better than Purdue, in my opinion. I know Purdue's got hype, but Iowa State's a better basketball team than Purdue. Would you agree, Jared?
Yeah, I would agree, too.
And who would we have if we made a Sweet 16?
Virginia. Likely. Yeah. I like Virginia. People sleep on Virginia. I like them a lot.
Watch.
They're tough.
What if Iowa State makes a Scott Drew type run and Texas Tech beats Virginia and then Iowa State beats Texas Tech in the Sweet 16?
That'd be glorious.
To play
Michigan State?
Who's like the 10 seed on that side?
Syracuse?
Yeah, Syracuse. There you go in the Elite Eight.
I put no stock in Texas Tech after that TCU loss, right?
I can't believe Trent Johnson got fired. I'm so sad.
But you got to win some games.
They beat Texas Tech.
Yeah. National Coach of the Year. He out-coached him.
There was someone that replied to a tweet by William that William said, when William was saying how good of a job Bill Self's done, and he said, if Trent Johnson was at Kansas, he'd win the title 3 out of every 4 years.
That's a lie. That's Trent a 100% Johnson. Lie.
Well, nobody wins it that often. It's not that easy to win it. So I don't know. I still think, personally, it's Kansas' tournament to lose. They've just got a little bit of everything right now, and they've got swagger, which helps.
I think Seldon's their wild card. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a player.
Him and his uncle with the clock. Did you see that?
Not only did I see it, but did you see the clock the next day?
Yeah.
It was twice as big. I don't get it. Apparently, he thought he was Flavor Flav because that used to be his calling card. But, yeah, those dunks, those always make huge highlight reels. And part of me, you can tell I'm a compassionate human being because I always feel bad for the guy that just got annihilated and is laying on the ground. It's like the guy was just trying to get a charge called, you know? Yeah. He said he's on ESPN 1,000 times for the next week.
Instead of trying to get a charge, why don't you man up, go meet him up there at the rim and hammer him?
Yeah, then it's even worse. You're trying to meet him at the rim and you get slammed on.
Then your arms get bent backwards.
You foul him hard enough to where he's not. That's the problem nowadays, though. You can't do that anymore because it's a flagrant. Mm-hmm. You can't. If a guy's going up to bash one on you and you go up and you know that's his intentions, you used to be able to just drill him.
That's what they do to me at the rec.
I love these conversations. Yeah, all the time. These conversations I can contribute nothing to because I've never been able to dunk. Like, people that can't dunk can't talk about meeting someone at the rim. It's like, I'll meet you at half court.
I got dunked on one time. We were playing William Penn in a scrimmage. This was my freshman year. And they were really, really good that year. They had one guy that made it to the last cut with the Pacers.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just a little freshman, my first scrimmage. And we're running back, and I was trying to run with him. And they threw a lob up to him. And I tried to meet him at the rim, and that was the worst decision I ever made in my life, trying to catch the lob. I'm so glad there's no video of it. I got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not good.
Did your own teammates make fun of you later for it?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, the guy was like 6'10", so yeah. It was stupid. Stupid choice on my part. He was like Duncan from the free throw line in warm-ups.
You know you're outmatched when that's happening.
You didn't get him back, though? You didn't throw down one on him?
No, I did not get him back. I did not get back the guy that almost made the
You still think you beat me in 1-on-1?
Yes, I still think I can beat you.
We're going to find out in May, apparently.
That's a terrible take.
Did you guys – everything's a terrible take. Did you guys see the latest Steph Curry three-pointer where he shoots it?
And turns around and runs
turns
back.
Turns around and runs back while it's still in the air.
He is simply amazing.
Is it he's amazing or is it he's beyond cocky at this point? Because I was a little bit torn on that video. I'm like, God, how sure are you of your shot when you can do that? You know, you're like, this is going in.
I mean, he's obviously cocky, but there's no way you can be as good as he is
yeah.
without knowing that you are the best.
But is that showing up the other team when he does that?
Who cares?
I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
You're like Mr. Good Sport, Gray. You always care about this stuff.
Not about...
If you were coaching your son's basketball team and you had a kid that was that good and was turning his back after shots, would you tell him to stop doing that?
See, here's my deal. I don't mind if a guy turn... Like, to me, he's doing that more for the fans. When Cam Newton goes and throws the ball up to the kid, that stuff doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when you see like an Isaiah Cousins make a three and he turns to the competitor and starts jawing in his face.
Yeah.
To me, that you're being a douchebag there. Okay, that's a different. But Steph Curry making a three and doing like a little shimmy and turning and running around, is he showing up the other team? Maybe a little bit, but he's doing it without being verbally confrontational.
It's a matter of time until somebody jacks him. Well, I'm telling you, someone's going to unload on him for doing all this stuff. It's going to catch up to him at some point.
To me, it's a lot like when a guy dunks and he hangs on the rim. You know, for a long time, the rule, you didn't want people to do that because you're breaking the rims. You know, you're going to pull the rim down. You're going to hurt the rim and stuff like that. It wasn't, now it's turned into you're dunking, you're pulling yourself up the rim. Oh, you're trying to show everybody up. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not what it is. We have to remember, this is a game. It's entertainment. We're selling tickets for people to come and watch people play this game. Why not try and make it as entertaining as we possibly can make it?
You're going full Bryce Harper right now, aren't you?
Not full Bryce Harper, but I'm definitely in the Bryce Harper school.
The rookie here,
especially with baseball.
He wants them to dunk it, pull themselves up on the rim, and then do a backflip dismount to run back down the court. That's
and
what
then
he
I
wants.
Want him to hold his crotch and be an asshole all
you
the time.
You want him to go George Niang on the crotch?
Yeah.
Okay.
It won't be long before players are pulling out confetti cannons from their pants and like shooting a ball. Steph, while the ball's in the air, Curry's going to reach in his pants, pull a confetti cannon out, and go boop, and pop it off in his opponent's face.
Well, that's like what Terrell Owens was doing. You know, he had the Sharpie. He had pom-poms. Yeah. He had all that stuff, yeah.
I want someone to dunk it, catch the ball before it goes through the rim, while they're hanging on the rim, sign the ball, and then punt it into the stands.
Game winner. Or dunk it again. Just keep dunking it.
See, when Terrell Owens does the Sharpie thing, that never bothered me. Remember when Sherman made that play at the end of the game against Crabtree to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And he chased him down across the field to talk smack to him?
Yeah.
Big problem with that. Yeah. There's two different things there.
What about Owens going out to the Star in Dallas?
That one's disrespectful because that's on the road, and that is – yeah, that's a little different.
Like, if you have to go that far out of your way to make the point, like half the field.
Yeah, that's extreme.
It's like, yeah, you've gone beyond.
Do you guys remember when Joe Horn put the cell phone underneath the goalpost?
Yeah. Did he get fined for that, too?
Oh, yeah,
he got crazy there for a little bit. Yeah. They were just trying to one-up each other.
Wasn't Chad Ochocinco wearing, like, a Hall of Fame jacket after a touchdown?
He did a whole bunch of them. He had, like, a sign that said, please don't find me or something like that.
I still remember when it was just a gesture, but when Randy Moss scored that touchdown in Green Bay, did the moon.
Like, yep.
Mooned him.
Yep.
I liked that one. That one was good. Yeah, that's rivalry.
That was just a gesture. If he would have pulled his pants down,
that would have been a problem.
Yeah, but he just a gesture.
That would have been a major problem. So we're all on board. Iowa State's winning.
The whole thing. Well,
what are you actually happy with?
Sweet 16. Yeah, Sweet 16.
Just because it gives you a few more days to be excited about it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you gotta take into account the expectations at the beginning of the year. And obviously, I've said all year that once Naz went down, the expectations should have changed a little bit. But even with Naz going down, I think Sweet 16 is still something that this team is talented enough to fight for to get. Yeah. So,
yeah.
We got guests here at the charter.
It's just my neighbor chiropractor.
Okay.
Don't worry. We're just recording a podcast here. It's all good.
All right. You guys good?
I'm good, man. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah.
Make sure to check out charterhouseiowa.com. Thanks to Mark and Adam. Thanks for listening, guys.